tonight to the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2 is a minor prophet, short prophet between Zephaniah and Zechariah. So look for the Z's. Haggai is between the two Z books. And a few weeks ago, we started looking at this book, and we learned that the historical context of this book is after the Babylonian captivity. And if you remember, the book of Ezra gives us the historical background of this. And remember, Cyrus had allowed a return to Jerusalem. The work had begun on the temple. But the enemies interfered and slandered the Jews to the authorities and caused the work to stop completely, and it remained stopped for nearly 15 years. But then the Lord raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to minister and to encourage the people to get back to work. And we've come through the first chapter, and we saw that in that first chapter, God addresses the priorities of the people. And He points out their problems, their excuses, their selfishness and their emptiness that followed. And then He shows them how to correct those problems. We looked at that last time, to recognize the right actions, to address their heart, and to trust God to help. And we saw that at the end of chapter 1, the Lord stirred up the spirit of the leaders, of the people, and they came and they did the work in the house of the Lord. And now we come to chapter 2, and we have a different message, another message to the same people, but it has a different tone. And that tone is one of encouragement. And so let's read verses 1 through 9. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." A while back, I was at Rural King, and I saw some LED lights, kind of LED stick-on lights, and I got a couple of those for the girls, and kind that, you know, you can kind of Velcro to something, and I thought, hey, they can Velcro those to their headboards, and, you know, sometimes they like to read a book, magazine or something, where they go to bed, and maybe one of them is already sleeping and the other one's awake or something, so they can kind of turn on the little LED light, turn it up. And so some of them have been using those. But recently, one daughter, Pearl, she was saying, "Hey, my light is really dim now. Can you look at this and try to fix it? It's really dim. Can you try to change the batteries?" And so I took it and opened it up, you know, three AAAs, put the AAAs back in, and turned it back on. And whoa, it was really bright, super bright LED lights there. And so we had to kind of be careful. We didn't blind each other with that. But there are times when our batteries, in a sense, run low. And we feel like we need a recharge, a change of batteries. And here in this passage, we see that God is a God who can recharge us, and He can help us to shine bright for Him. And He is a God who gives encouragement. In this passage, we see how God encourages His people in the present, verses 1 through 5, and we'll just look at those verses tonight. And then in verses 6 through 9, we see how God encourages them with the future and with what He has planned for the future. And so I want you to notice this present encouragement that He gives to the people. And in verses 1 and 2, we see that it is a renewed encouragement. The time is highlighted for us in verse 1, the seventh month. In the 1 and 20th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai. And we can compare that to the time that was mentioned in the previous message in chapter 1. And actually the time even in verse 15, the 4 and 20th day of the sixth month. And now it's the seventh month and the 1 and 20th day of the month. And so, close to a month after the end of that chapter, remember the people had heard God's message about their priorities, about fixing those. They had gotten back to the work. And then God gives them this renewed encouragement here. You know, God didn't just leave them on their own after they had listened to that first message. God gave them more encouragement after they had obeyed and after they had listened to what God told them He wanted them to hear. And then notice the people that God addresses, verse 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people. That word means remnant. And that may sound familiar to you because those are the same people that were addressed over in chapter 1, verse 1. They had heeded the rebuke of chapter 1, and they had made those corrections. And now these are the same people that God comes and gives a renewed encouragement to. And so we can see from that, just in verses 1 and 2, this renewed encouragement that God knows what we need. It may be a different word at different times. See, these same people back in chapter 1, they needed a different message. It was a message of mainly rebuke and correction. And now at this time, after this time had passed, God saw that they needed a message of encouragement. And He gives them that message here. And so it may be the same with us as well. We may need a different kind of message from God. Perhaps maybe it's a time where we need this same message of encouragement that God gives to the people here. And God's able to give that renewed encouragement. God is a God who comes and He renews a message of comfort for His people. You know, He doesn't expect us to, you know, just have sort of one time where we get all we need. I think we need to see in this, okay, as time passes, we do need to be recharged. We do need to be renewed. And God gives that to His people here. So we see the renewed encouragement in verses 1 and 2. And then we see in verse 3 the need for this encouragement. It was a needed encouragement. Look at verse 3 again. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? See, verse 3 tells us that this encouragement was needed because of what they saw. God addresses what they were looking at. They were looking at this temple they were working on, and how they saw it. And God makes reference to people who saw the temple before. It was much different. And they were making this comparison. God points out that, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now, it had been quite some time since the temple was destroyed. Maybe nearly 70 years, maybe not quite 70 years. And so, there may have been some people who had seen Solomon's temple in its glory. And it couldn't have been too many people, I would think, by this time. But there may have been people who would have known about it. And even we can understand Solomon's temple. If we go back and we look at all of the materials that, remember, David collected, and all of that silver and gold and the timber that was collected, and then Solomon, when he got started with his temple, there were thousands of skilled craftsmen. I mean, tons and tons of work went into Solomon's temple. There was just such an effort there to construct that. And now these people come back, just a remnant, a residue of people, and they're working on rebuilding the temple. And they're comparing that. Perhaps some of them would have seen it. Perhaps some of them knew what it was like. They're comparing it, and it's nothing. It's just, they're shaking their heads. This is nothing compared to what it used to be. Even 15 years earlier to this time, when the foundation was worked on, there was a kind of a first phase of discouragement that set in. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11, we're told of the reaction there. There was a great time of thanksgiving and praise when they began to work on that. And then verse 12 of Ezra chapter 3 says, "But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. The people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." And so that same thing seems to have been going on 15 years later, after they get started building again. That same feeling of, wait a minute, this just doesn't feel right in comparison, that was setting in. And so that's why they needed encouragement. And God knew that there was a need for encouragement here because of what was going on, because of what they saw and how that compared to Solomon's temple. And God knows when we need that encouragement. God knows that. He knows why. And perhaps it may be similar to the reason here. Maybe what we see now is not like what we once saw. Maybe that's the case in our families, or in our church, or in our stage of life. But God knows. God knows that. And we need to see that our encouragement does not depend on that we experience, just as the people found that here as well. And then we come to verses 4 and 5, and we see the commands that God gives. Verse 4, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work." Notice these commands here. It's first of all, a command to be strong. This word can be used of physical strength. It's a word that's used reference to Samson in Judges 16:28. He prays at the end of his life for God to strengthen him. And when he was praying, he was praying for his physical strength to come back so that he could take revenge on the Philistines. But this word also refers to courage, a spiritual strength. And it's a courage that is similar to what God told other people when they faced monumental tasks. Think of Joshua. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Interesting that there's another Joshua here in Haggai's time. He was the priest. Joshua the high priest. I wonder if he recognized that same command was given to his namesake many years earlier at the beginning of his career and the beginning of going into the promised land. And think of what an overwhelming task that would have been for Joshua to have to lead the people into the promised land and to have to fight to capture that land, to drive out the Canaanites. And God says to him, be strong. Be strong. David gave the same command to Solomon about building the temple. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And so that's the command that God gives his people here. He knows what they're thinking. He knows the need for the encouragement. He knows the comparison that they're making in their minds about the present to the past. And he commands them, be strong. Have courage. And they would have probably remembered that same command given to God's people in other times when they faced jobs that were very big. And God gave that same command to his people. And the people on every level needed to hear that. The governor, the high priest, all the people of the land. And then the second command they were given was to work. Verse 4, be strong. And at the end of verse 4, and work. They were to keep on working in spite of their discouragement. They were to keep on building that temple, to keep on doing what they were doing, even though they were tempted to be discouraged when they compared the present to the past. God said, keep on working. And so I want us to see our responsibility here as we look at these commands for encouragement. They are commands. Be strong. God's telling his people. Work. Now there's a basis for it. We're about to get to that, but there is a point where we need to see that we have a responsibility to not let ourselves become discouraged. God comes to us and says, be strong. Have courage. Don't let yourself be discouraged. Continue. Continue to work. Then we see the basis here. We see that this is a reliable encouragement here. And the first reason for that is at the end of verse 4, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. God's presence. God reminded them that he hadn't left them. They may be thinking, hey, things are a lot different now than they were before, but God reminds them, no, I'm with you. I'm still with you. And that's the same for us as well. God's presence with us should be enough to encourage and to strengthen us. And then another reason for this encouragement. Verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. God's promise. God is speaking of his covenant, his promise that he made with his people. Now, there may have been some that may have thought, hey, we've just been through the judgment of God. We've just been through the captivity. Maybe God has broken that. Maybe that promise is no good anymore. But God here reminds them and confirms to them that, no, it's still good. Even though they had to endure that judgment, even though they had to endure captivity for 70 years, and now they're coming back to Jerusalem and it's nothing like it was before, God confirms His covenant to them. And even today, it's still going. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And He says, my Spirit remaineth among you. My Spirit remaineth among you. It endures, it lasts, it's preserved. And because of that, He gives them another command here, fear ye not. Fear ye not. We can have a confidence because of God's presence, because of God's promise. We can have a confidence in spite of discouraging times. Now we need to remember that these promises here are something that only God's people can find encouragement from. And somebody that doesn't know God, somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ really can take no comfort from this. Jesus said in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The world doesn't have the Spirit. The world doesn't have the promise of God's presence remaining with them and in them. This is something for God's people. There's a great difference between a child of God and somebody who's an unbeliever, somebody part of the world. They don't have the reasons for encouragement that we have. We have the covenant promise of God if we have the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the covenant that God made with His people Israel, it was reiterated and reaffirmed all throughout Old Testament history. And then Christ came. And He came in fulfillment to those promises. And if we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, if we've trusted in Him, then we can claim this promise as well. That God gives to His people. We need to learn to find our encouragement not in what we see, but in God's promises and presence with us. You know, we all face discouragement, whether it be like the discouragement that the people there after the exile was facing, just the thought that things are just not the same and it's different than it used to be. Or whether it be some other kind of discouragement, we face that. You know, we live in a sin-cursed world. We have bodies that are degenerating, and we struggle with our sinful flesh. We have times when the doctor says that doesn't look good. We have times when our expectations are not what we would hope that they would be. And we're going to all face the temptation to be discouraged, just as the people in Haggai's day did. But we need to look at this text and remember that our encouragement doesn't come from the things that we see around us. Our encouragement comes from what God says, the commands that He gives us, the instructions that He gives to us, and the promises that are behind that. God is present with us no matter what happens. God's promises are all reliable. His word is true. And we need to learn to find our encouragement from the promises of His word. So let's realize that God can encourage us no matter what is going on around us. And we need to have that renewed at times. We need to have our batteries recharged. And God knew that about his people. And so a month later, he comes again. Here's another message, Haggai. I want you to give that to my people. And God is able to encourage us in that same way as well. God knows when we need it. And so let's do our part to obey his command and recognize we have every reason to be encouraged by God's presence and the promises of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we need encouragement in the same way that your people did. We're no different than they were. And so we pray that you would give us a renewed comfort, a renewed encouragement. We pray that we might not allow ourselves to be discouraged by just the things we see or the things we experience. But help us, Lord, to see the reality of your presence with us and the promises of your word, which will be fulfilled and have been fulfilled already. And so help us to rejoice in that and to find our confidence and our comfort in that. Even tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.